السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series on questions. The questions that we will be asked from the time we enter our graves to the time that we are resurrected on the day of judgment. And these questions are the questions, and this examination is the examination which will decide the difference between success and failure. not success and failure that is temporary, but success and failure which is permanent. If we succeed, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable all of us to succeed in this examination, then inshallah that success is forever, does not end. In Arabic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used two words, one falah and one fawz. Falah is success, but success which is temporary. After falah, you can have some other tests and some other examinations that you might fail in the next one. But fawz is success which, once it happens, then there is no further examination. That's forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called that success, which I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all of us, Allah called it Fawzul Kabir. It's a success, and that also success which is great. Fawzul Kabir. And so also may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that fate. But if we fail in this exam, if we are unable to answer the questions that are posed to us, then we will fail. And that failure also is forever. There is no re-examination, either for the one who is successful or for the one who has failed. As I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who deny this meeting with Allah. Those who deny the resurrection, those who deny the life after death, or who have different concepts of their own creation with respect to life of after death. This life after death is such an important issue that there has never been a time in the history of mankind where people have not thought about it, where people have not theorized about it. Every time, for thousands of years, people have thought about what happens after death. And they have formed their own theories. There are theories of rebirth, there are theories of reincarnation, there are theories of moksha, there are theories of all kinds. And of course there is a theory that nothing happens. That nothing happens. That after death, there is no such thing as life after death. To dust to dust, to earth, and nothing else happens after death. All theories. But as I said, one can have any theory that one wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a brain and we can think anything we like. We can think that there is no life after death, or we can think that life after death is of this kind or that kind. But the reality, what is life after death? Only one can tell us. And who is that one? The one who does not die. The one who created us, and the one to whom is our return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. He is the only one who can tell us what happens after we die. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who deny in Surah Sajda. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالُوا وَإِذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُءُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا
ربنا بصرنا وسمعنا فارجعنا نعمل صالحا إنا موقنون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my Nabi, there are these people who say, وقالوا إِذَا ظَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّا لَفِي قَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Is it that once we have died and once we have become one with the soil, once we have been buried or burnt or whatever, once our present existence has ceased, when this present form has ceased to
Will be resurrected? Khalqin Jadeed will be recreated new? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who asks a question like that, in that tone of voice,
Balhum bi liqa'i rabbihim kafiru. That person has surely denied the meeting with his Rabb. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu declares and says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. Tell them that they will die. Tell them you will die. مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Malakul Maut has been set upon you and his job is to extract your soul, and to your Rabb is your return. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, O my Nabi, if you could see them, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. If you could see them, O my Nabi, the mujrimun, the criminals, the one who denied the meeting with their Rabb, if you could see them standing before the throne of their Rabb, with their heads hanging in shame, saying what? Saying, Rabbana absarna. O our Rabb, we have seen. Wa sami'na. And we have heard. Farji'na. Send us back. Inna muqinun. Verily and truly, we will be among the obedient people. My brothers and sisters, I remind you that realization at that point in time has no meaning. Has no meaning. Because the door of Tawbah has been closed. When does the door of Tawbah, when does it close? When we see Malakul Maut. When we see Malakul Maut, the door of Tawbah is gone. And for some people, may Allah protect us from that. Maybe it closes even before that. Because what do you say for somebody who goes into a state of coma while he or she was in a state of kufr or shirk? He has not died yet. But he is in a state now where he cannot do, Allah alam, he cannot make tawbah, he does not know what's going on. So be that as it may, the fact remains that the door of tawbah closes with our death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned also that actual point of nazar, that actual point of dying. And you and I have witnessed this ourselves with our own eyes. We have witnessed this and we have experienced this with our own loved ones, with our own near and dear ones, who were lying there on that bed and dying before our eyes. And Allah knows that there were among those who were watching, those who would have gladly given their own lives in order to bring back the soul of the one who was dying. But nothing could be done. Allah knows that there were those who spent any amount of money, who went from doctor to doctor, from hospital to hospital, from technology to technology, in order to delay that moment of death. But you know and I know that we were not successful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself describes this. Allah describes this so beautifully.
فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ.
وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when the soul is stuck in the throat, فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم in the halaq, when the soul is stuck in the throat, وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ, when you are standing there watching, looking on. Allah says at that time, we are close to the person who is dying. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ, but we are not visible to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَوْلَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ, if you think that you are exempt from the reckoning and recompense. If you think that you are so special, that you are so powerful, that you are exempt from this moment, tarjiunaha in kuntum sadiqin. Allah says, return that soul. If you think you are so powerful, return that soul which is exiting at that point in time, send it back into the body. I tell you, sometimes some of the ayat of the Quran is full of ayat of hukum, of ayat of great glory and majesty and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are some ayat of the Quran which supersede others in terms of their glory and majesty and power. And this is one of them. Tarjiunaha in kuntum sadiqeen. Who can say that except the one who put that soul in there in the first place? Who can say that except the one who is extracting that soul? That soul is leaving with the hukum of the one with whose hukum that soul entered that body in the first place. Who can give this challenge to say, return the soul if you can, because he knows nobody can do that. We did not put the soul in there in the first place. How can we return it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this so that we realize before it is our turn, the true helplessness of our state. And we realize that we have only one choice, and that choice is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who have a good ending. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are decreed to have a good ending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Fussilat, the beautiful ayat of the surah. Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ولا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وابشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُولًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. That is the key. Allah said, verily, those who said, Allah is our Rabb. Our Rabb is Allah. And then they stayed on that with istiqamat, with steadfastness. I remind myself and you to reflect on the meaning of thumma istaqam. Qalu Rabbuna Allah is not sufficient. Qalu Rabbuna Allahu thumma istaqam. Simply to say Allah is my Rabb is not enough. What is required is to stay on that with istiqamah, with steadfastness. What is the meaning of staying on Rabbuna Allah with istiqamah? It means that when I accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is my Rabb, then I worship no one other than Allah. Then I ask for help from no one other than Allah. Then I obey no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu.
and I do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu under any circumstances whatsoever. That is the meaning of thumma istaqama. My brothers and sisters, how do you enter Islam? If somebody wants to be a Muslim, what does that person need to do? That person simply needs to say two sentences. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's it. And the person becomes a Muslim. He says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. What is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. What is the meaning of Muhammadur Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger and the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. But please think and reflect. The statement La ilaha illallah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Is this a statement of information or is it a statement of relationship? Are you merely informing people? There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And so, matter is over. Or is this statement a statement of relationship? Is it a statement that is declaring that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah? And my relationship with this Allah is that I worship no one other than Him. Which one is this? Is it a statement of relationship? Or is it a statement of information? Relationship. And what is the condition of that relationship? That we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why after the kalima, which is the first thing that becomes fard? Salah. Salah. If there is somebody who recites the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and then when the time comes to pray, the person does not pray, what is the hukum about that person? What is the ruling about such a person? The person entered Islam by saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And when the person refused to pray, the person exited Islam. Why? Because when he said La ilaha illallah, he said there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. But when the time to worship came, he refused to worship Allah. So he said La ilaha illallah and he entered Islam and he did not pray, so he exited Islam. My brothers and sisters, what is that Muhammad? What is that salah? What is that salah? That salah is the manifestation of Muhammadur Rasulullah. How? How? Because Muhammadur Rasulullah is also a statement of relationship. We are not merely informing people that Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah, is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Saying Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not like saying that President Obama is the President of United States. Is it the same? If I ask you who is the President of the United States, I say Barack Obama. And if you ask me who is the Messenger of Allah, I say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are the two the same? If somebody who is saying Muhammadur Rasulullah, is it the same as someone informing so-and-so that so-and-so is the President of the United States? Is it the same? No, why? Because if you ask me, you just told me that Barack Obama is the President of the United States. What is your relationship with him? I say, I have no relationship with him. I'm not an American. I'm not a citizen of the United States. Yeah, I've got no relation. You ask me a question, I give you an answer. You wanted some information, I give it to you. Khalas. But when I say Muhammadur Rasulullah as a Muslim, am I informing you of a fact? Or am I declaring my relationship with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Which one? Relationship. Yes? Please understand this. The kalima is not just simply words. The kalima is a statement of relationship. So when I am saying Muhammadur Rasulullah, what is the manifestation? What is the physical form of Muhammadur Rasulullah? It is salah. Why? Because he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. You said La ilaha illallah and you said, oh Allah, there is no one worthy of worship except you. So I will worship you. So what did Allah say? Allah said, say Muhammadur Rasulullah. Say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is my messenger, is my last and final messenger. Follow him. He will show you how to worship me. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. He is aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. He did not say pray as Allah told you to pray. He did not say pray as whichever way you like, whichever way you think is the best. He said, pray as you have seen me pray. The moment you said La ilaha illallah, my brothers and sisters, you made the sunnah fard on you. What is the salah? The salah is the first point of the sunnah. Because what is the sunnah? The sunnah is to do what Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. And what is the first of that? Is salah. The moment you said La ilaha illallah, the sunnah became fard on you. Your choice. You want to accept it, you don't want to accept it. You will answer. And you will answer alone. My job is to inform you. You said the moment you said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, you made the sunnah fard on yourself. And if you left that sunnah, you would have left Islam. If you had left salah, you would have left Islam. Please understand, your salah is sunnah, ayn. Your salah is a sunnah which is not mentioned in the Quran, which is not described in the Quran, which is not even called salah in the Quran. In the form Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu salah. What is the meaning of that? Do what my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described wudu, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described tayammum, for example. Why did he not describe salah? Allah could have described salah also. That it should start with qiyam. Then you have to go into ruku. One ruku. Two sujood, not two ruku, one sajda. No. Allah did not describe salah. Why? So that you and I understand the meaning of summa istaqamu. So that you and I understand the meaning of Muhammadur Rasulullah. So that you and I understand the responsibility on ourselves. And that responsibility, my brothers and sisters, does it extend and does it, is it limited only to worship? Is it limited only to salah? The meaning of sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli has only to do with salah. What is the basic foundational principle of Islam, of the Sharia? That the salah, the worship is the head of the matter. And the worship, what we do, the meaning of it, the implications of it, relate to the rest of our lives. What is this salah? I stand and I enter salah, how? By raising my hands to my ears and saying Allahu Akbar. I throw the world behind my back and I dedicate myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before whom I am standing. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about that situation, about that state? In the famous hadith Jibreel, the description of Ihsan, where Jibreel alayhi salam asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا الْإِحْسَانُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ What is إِحْسَانُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم And he said, أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ He said to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Him. And if you do not see Him, to know that He sees you. My brothers and sisters, ask yourself this question. Is this description in Islam? Do we have a deen which is so limited and which is so constrained that this description applies only to worship? Only worship Allah as if we can see Him, and only in worship have this sense and realization that Allah is seeing me? Or does this also extend to my family? Does it also extend to my business? Does it also extend to my wheeling and dealing? Is it jais? Is it permissible in Islam to pray your salah with great khushu and great concentration and then go into your business and lie and cheat? Is this permissible? Yes or no? Why is it not permissible? Because you as a Muslim are supposed to conduct your business as if you are in salah. How? by doing this business as if you are seeing Allah. And by doing this business, knowing that even though you do not see Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you when you are speaking to your customer. And that is the reason why in this beautiful deen of ours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converted every action into an action of worship, into an action of ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created the jinn and the insan and the human beings for any purpose except then to worship us. Any purpose except to worship us. How can that happen? That can only happen when the normal matters of daily life can be converted into actions of worship. There is no way that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. There is no way that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night without sleeping, without eating, without doing business, without earning money. Can we do that? Can anybody do that? Can we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24, no matter how dedicated you are? Maybe, wallah alam, maybe we can, we might even be able to do it for 24 hours, you know. Starve for a few days before that, eat some Lomotil, or I mean, eat some, you know, Loperamide or something so that you don't have to go to the toilet. Don't drink water for 2 or 3 days so you are nicely desiccated. Eat some more pills to keep your sleep away. Drink a couple of gallons of coffee. So that spoils the other thing. So don't drink coffee, just drink. Imagine, I mean, even if you contrived this whole situation, maybe you will last out 24 hours. Wallah alam. 24 hours I'm standing in salah. Maybe. Then what do you do after that? The only way, and please understand this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give a hukum which cannot be fulfilled. Because this is against logic. This deen is a deen of logic. This is against logic. That I'm giving somebody an order which cannot be fulfilled. And then I'm punishing the person because he did not fulfill the order. I mean, that's completely logical. It would be highly unjust, right? You tell someone, do something. If I tell him, fly. And then I'm beating him because he can't fly. I mean, how is he going to fly? He can't fly. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a hukum, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states a purpose, please understand that purpose can be fulfilled exactly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it. Without any need for us to go into any ta'wilat and any interpretations. No. As he said it. And what did he say, Jalla Jalalu? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Twice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used denial, which means double emphasis. We have not created the jinn and the insan, the jinn and the human beings, for any purpose, illa liyabudun, except that they should worship. And that is why Allah gave us this beautiful deen. And what is this deen? This deen is the way in which every action of our lives, every normal action of our lives, can be converted into an act of worship. And what is the way to do that? By following the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah. And that is the reason why after La ilaha illallah comes Muhammadur Rasulullah. And that is why after the kalima comes salah. And that is why after the kalima the salah is the first sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a symbol, which is a framework into which every single action of our lives must be put. We start the salah with takbir, with declaring the greatness of Allah. Allahu Akbar. We glorify and recite the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we begin with a surah which is the surah of dua and tawbah, Suratul Fatiha. We just completed a series of 8 lectures on that by the title of Reflect on the Quran. They have now been converted into a book as well as 8 sets of lectures which are on our website, free download. Download it, read it. May Allah give the reward to these young brothers of mine, Umair and Azhar, who do all the hard work. Make dua for them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them in keeping with His majesty and grace for every letter that I speak, every letter that they write, and every letter which they broadcast to all over the world. Alhamdulillah. Read that whole series. Listen to that. Many of you have heard the entire series, mashallah. But no harm in reiterating and reminding ourselves. Inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'minin. Allah said, dhikr is beneficial for the mu'minin. Reminder is beneficial for the mu'minin. So we begin with that surah, with tawbah. We begin with asking the help of Allah. And in that surah is an ayah. Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in. Oh Allah, I worship only you. And I ask help only from you. And then we bow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go into ruku. What is the meaning of ruku? Ruku is to take our own ananiyat. Is to take our own so-called confidence. Our own confidence which is really arrogance. Masquerading as confidence. Is to take that and bow it down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalala. And then we stand from this ruku and we go down on all fours with our head on the ground. And we emphasize that a second time around. Sujood. And that is why that sajda, the position of sajda, is the position which is the icon of the Muslim. It is the icon of Islam. A position of complete and total submission. Total helplessness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why that position of sujood is haram. It is prohibited to make that sajda to anyone other than the one who created us. The sajda is jaiz only for Allah Jalla Jalalu, not for anybody else. Why? Because it is against the dignity of the human being to put his face on the ground. It is against the dignity of the human being to make himself so helpless before another human being. The only one before whom we remove our dignity. There is no dignity. There is no izzah before the one who gives izzah. Tu'izzu man tasha wa tudhillu man tasha biyadika al-khayr. إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. This is salah. So when we go into our business, what do? We start with Allahu Akbar. We remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most greatest and the most powerful. Not my business, not anything else. When I'm doing that business, I'm constantly making tawbah, oh Allah, save me from doing something which is wrong for which you will hold me accountable. When I am doing that business, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, I come to a deal which looks like it is very beneficial. But it has elements in it which are against the Sharia of Islam. It is a deal that requires me to do that which is haram. It's a deal that requires me to deceive somebody or to deal in interest. It's a deal that involves giving somebody a picture about myself and my products which is different from the reality. What do I do? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. No. Oh Allah, I worship only you. Therefore, I will not disobey you. The shaitan comes and says, what will happen to your income? What will happen to your income? What do you tell the shaitan? You tell the shaitan, that's not my problem. My income is not my problem. Who told you that my income is my problem? Huh? Who told you that my income is my problem? My income is Allah's problem. He said it, I didn't say it. He said it, I did not say it. Where did he say it? Immediately after this ayah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And he knows what he created. He knows the first thought which will come. Ya Allah, if I am going to worship you 24 hours, how will I eat? Allah, what did Allah say? مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقِهُ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُتْعِبُونَ. I don't ask you to feed me. I don't ask you to feed me. And then, just in case the penny didn't drop, what does he say after that? Inna Allaha huwa ar-razzaqu dhul quwwati al-mateen. Verily and truly it is Allah who is ar-razzaq, not raziq, ar-razzaq. And he feeds you with quwwati al-mateen, with his power. My sheikh used to say when we used to read the tafsir of this ayah, he used to say, this ayah is a slap in the face. He said, it's a slap in the face for anyone who has any doubt in his heart. with respect to his rizq. Inna Allah huwa ar-razzaqu dhul quwwati al-matin. In terms of the Arabic grammar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reinforced and reiterated and emphasized his razzaqiyat 6 times in this one ayah. 6 times. Imam Al-Awza'i, rahmatullah alayh, is one of the great imams of the Sharia. And he was an imam as big or as authoritative and as knowledgeable as the other a'imma, as Imam Al-Shafi'i and as Imam Abu Hanifa and so on, Imam Al-Awza'i. But today there are no followers of Imam Al-Awza'i. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own ways of spreading whatever he likes to spread. But Imam Al-Awza'i is a highly respected ayah of this ummah. Now Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullahi was traveling, he was going somewhere on a journey. When he was waylaid and a bunch of highway robbers, they grabbed him. And the head of the robbers, he came and he caught hold of him and he said to him, he was going to kill him. That is their modus operandi, they slaughter everybody and take the money or take whatever they have. But before he killed Imam Al-Awza'i, he asked him, what do you do? What's your profession? And this great Imam of the Sharia, he did not say, I'm Mufti Azam, I'm this and that. He said, I teach children Quran. He said, I teach children Quran. So this man, he said, okay, so recite some Quran for me. He said, recite some Quran for me. My brothers and sisters, there is a difference between those who recite Quran for money and those who have paid the price of the Quran before they recite it. Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullah recited only one ayah from the same surah Zariyat which I have been talking about just now. One ayah. Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullah said, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. He said, on the heavens is your risk and that which you desire. That robber was holding a sword in his hand. He dropped the sword. He said, my risk is on the heavens. And I am doing this. He said, I am killing people for this risk. And my Rabb said, it is in the heavens. He dropped his sword. And then he went away. He left them. Then he took his band and he went away. The Imam Al-Awza'i rahmatullah was going to make Umrah. So he said, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala released us. So he went. And when he reached the Kaaba, when he reached Haram, he was making tawaf. And Imam Al-Awza'i says that I heard a man there who was in sajda. And he says the words of his, Ajib, these people, the way they describe. He said, I heard him weeping. And he says he was weeping so much. He was weeping like a woman whose baby has been slaughtered in her lap. Literally like a mother whose baby was slaughtered in front of her, in her lap. How that mother would weep. This man was weeping like that. So Imam Al-Awza'i said, I got very concerned. I said, why is this man crying so much? So he said, I went to the man, I tapped him on his shoulder, the man sat up and I saw it's the same robber, it's the same highway robber who got me on the street, who got me on the way. So Imam Al-Awza'i then recited the next ayah after this one, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a qasam by himself. Allah said, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُعَدُونَ. On the heavens is their risk. And everything you wish. And Allah says, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah took a qasam by himself. I said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is as true as what you talk to each other. Meaning that this is, if I'm talking to you, this is real to you. Allah said, this business that your risk is on the heavens is as real as that. This man who was an ignorant man, he says to Imam Al-Awza'i, He says, Wallah, why does Allah have to swear by himself to convince somebody like me? He's weeping. He says, why does Allah have to take this big qasam to convince somebody like me? He says, I am not worth this. He says, I am nothing. He says, my Rabb has to speak so strongly. Why does Allah have to take a qasam by himself to convince somebody like me? This is the meaning of summa istaqamu. This is the meaning of Rabbun Allah summa istaqamu. May Allah bless you. My plan was to go through 4 pages. I went to half of one ayah. Anyway, if Allah gives us life, we will continue this until we finish. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather all of you under the shade of His arsh on the day when there will be no shade except His shade. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your last day and your last action the best day and the best action of your life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to grant you until you get tired of what He grants you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you so much that you are happy eventually. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you so much that you say, Ya Allah, bas. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your dua. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you that which you cannot imagine, from sources that you cannot imagine, and to make you the givers of that to the whole world and all who it contains. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِيهِ وَسَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ